This is Radio MD COVID-19 Daily, your source for COVID-19 news from the front lines of healthcare. I'm Caitlin White. Thank you once again for joining us on this Thursday. It's March 26th. Stay tuned after the news for a couple of longer interviews on managing anxiety in both adults and kids during this uncertain time. Earlier this week, the CDC launched what they are calling a coronavirus self-checker, hoping to help guide Americans who may have COVID-19 seek out the appropriate medical care. The federal agency turned to Microsoft's healthcare bot service to create its own chatbot in hopes of lessening some of the burden on human healthcare providers. The chatbot is comprised of artificial intelligence and calls itself Clara. It asks a series of demographic and medical questions to assess a user's risk of having COVID-19 and then tells them whether to self-isolate or seek medical attention. We've been hearing a lot in the news about a lack of masks and personal protective gear and even ICU beds in the United States. Radio MD's Scott Webb has this report on which states are lacking the most beds.
The COVID-19 pandemic has raised many questions about our healthcare system's readiness to treat those infected with the virus. One of the most asked questions relates to the number of intensive care unit beds that are available across the country. In a recent Kaiser Health News report, indications are that many states and counties simply do not have ICU beds. According to their analysis, Texas ranks first with 166 counties without ICU beds, followed by Georgia at 95, Nebraska at 81, Missouri at 78, and Kansas and Virginia tied at 76 counties without beds. That ICU bed tally does not include VA hospitals. Reporting for Radio MD News, I'm Scott Webb.
Italian doctors are sending a warning out as they watch the coronavirus spread across America, and that's to treat more patients in their own homes. Radio MD's Bill Klaproth has more.
As exhausted physicians in Italy grapple with grim conditions in the agonizing decision on how to prioritize intensive care based on who has the best chance of survival, a paper published in the NEJM Catalyst and cited by STAT says a similar situation can be avoided in the U.S. if there's a shift to home-based care to help prevent the virus's spread, as hospitals are being seen as the main transmission source for new COVID-19 cases. The authors suggest home-based care and mobile clinics may be a more effective way to curb transmission and release pressure from hospitals. Now, even though the doctor house call may be a thing of the past, it might just be what we need to ultimately win this war against the coronavirus. Bring them nutrition, measure their oxygen levels, even bring them oxygen, and you can probably keep many of them at home, said Dr. Maurizio Sarita, a co-author of the paper and co-director of the surgical ICU at Philadelphia-based Penn Medicine, as he told STAT. That change would decrease transmission and protect other patients as well as healthcare workers. Sarita went on to say, "Don't let them spread it. If we had done this in January, the U.S. wouldn't be in this situation." For Radio MD News, I'm Bill Klaproth.
For a lot of us, the fear of the unknown is what has been most difficult to cope with in the time of COVID-19. What will get canceled next week? How will I pay my bills? When will it all be over? We go again to Bill Klaproth, who talked to one doctor about how to deal with some of that virus-provoked anxiety.
I talked with Dr. Venus Nicolino, best known as Dr. V. She's a doctor of clinical psychology and the best-selling author of the critically acclaimed book, Bad Advice. So we're all feeling heightened levels of fear and anxiety due to coronavirus, including wondering, do I have it? And could I have spread it to someone else and not even know it? And having this feeling of impending doom, as psychologists put it, is being felt now more than ever. So Dr. V has come up with what she calls COVID-19 distress, where your symptoms of anxiety mimic that of coronavirus, sending you even more into the feeling of impending doom. So I asked her, how do we manage this fear and anxiety?
So number one, you're going to take breaks from reading and listening to stories about COVID-19, the virus. Your mind is not a toxic waste dump. So pay attention to what you feed it, because we can all have psychological indigestion just from reading and listening. So hearing and reading about the pandemic is upsetting in of itself. However, You can control how, where, and when you get this information.
She also suggests we pay attention to what we do with our phones in the morning and before we go to bed.
I urge you to take 10 minutes to yourself before you pick up your phone and start reading the news. 10 minutes of really connecting to yourself and to your body. And I absolutely would suggest putting down your phone an hour before you go to sleep, because you don't want those thoughts racing in your brain as you're trying to fall asleep.
As we look ahead, the future is a scary place. The not knowing, the uncertainty. Dr. V says we need to work on staying in the present.
Anxiety happens when we lose our presence, when we are not in the present moment. We are consistently living in the future. And there is no better way to connect to the present than connecting with your mind and your body, taking deep breaths in for 6 seconds and out for 6 seconds. Feels so good. And try it. Once you do this, you'll realize, wow, I really enjoy doing this. I really enjoy taking deep breaths. I mean, we should have been doing this, you know, for our lifetime. So it's nice that we're sort of being forced to take good care of ourselves.
So cut the COVID coverage. Stay away from your phone when you first get up and before you go to bed. Stay in the present moment and remember to breathe. And then Dr. V has one more tip.
You know, all this talk about social distancing, that does not include emotional distancing. Make sure you connect with others. The circuits of our lives are built with the connection we make with others. Call someone you trust and someone you love. You can find protection in connection. So make sure you reach out to people via phone or FaceTime or Skype. I mean, we've never been living in a better time for this, really. I mean, we have access to other people in ways that we wouldn't have had, you know, 20, 30 years ago. But that important connection, that emotional connection with other people, keeps us alive, you know, and as COVID-19 has shown us, that for better and for worse, we are all connected.
And here's to staying connected. I'm Bill Klaproth.
But with fear and anxiety sparked in so many of us adults, we might forget to think about how kids are dealing with the news of the virus. I recently spoke with Dr. Amy Forer, a family medicine physician with Emerson Hospital and Emerson Family Medicine in Maynard.
Well, thank you for having me. It really is important to take time to talk to your children when there's a public health emergency. If you stay calm and reassuring, this can be very helpful for all ages. It's important to answer their questions and be honest and accurate, and this can help alleviate fear. Reassure your children that the medical community is prepared and here to help, and scientists are working around the clock to fight this disease. Avoid language that may blame others, including cultures and countries, and use words and concepts that your child will understand based on their age and development. Spending time talking with your child communicates that you are available to them. And so if they have questions or concerns in the future, they'll know that you're available.
So what are some tips that we can give children that they can do to stay healthy and prevent the spread?
We need to teach our children to wash their hands appropriately. We need to teach them to use soap and water and take 20 seconds to wash their hands. Younger children may want to learn to sing a song that will assure appropriate time has been spent. When soap and water aren't available, we can use hand sanitizer at regular intervals throughout the day. These regular intervals may involve when there's a change in location or before eating. We should teach our children to cough and sneeze into tissues or their elbows. And if your child is sick, keep them home and avoid others who may be sick. Take the time to explain to your child that there are new actions at school to help people stay healthy. These include increased hand washing and cancellations of gatherings and events. Parents should also be aware and adhere to travel advisories.
So what if my child is really concerned to the point that they maybe don't want to leave the house in general?
Sure. You should be watching for signs of anxiety and fear in your children. There are various ways that this may present in children based on their age and development. Preschool and kindergarten age children may regress to behaviors they have previously outgrown. They may be frightened by separation from a parent. They may have tantrums or difficulty sleeping. Older children, 7 to 10 years old, may feel sad, mad, or afraid. Making time to talk with older children is important because there may be misinformation from peers. Preteens and teenagers may act out or become fearful of leaving the home. They may feel overwhelmed by strong emotions and have difficulty talking. Try to stick to normal routines as much as possible and let children play outside and just be children. Model the behavior that is reassuring, as children will pick up on our cues. Remind them the family is taking precautions to keep everyone healthy at our home and in our community. It is really important to limit exposure to news and screens, as too much information and repetitive information can lead to anxiety. If you're truly concerned about your child, reach out to your pediatrician.
What if, another scenario, my child is fixated on things like if the schools will close, if their favorite activities will be canceled, what life in the future is going to look like? What should I do then?
Sure. It's important to reassure your child, like all public health emergencies, this will be temporary. Explain that these disruptions are important measures to help slow the spread of the virus. And respond in a way that acknowledges and validates their feelings. For example, say to your child, I understand you're upset and this is frustrating, reiterating that these disruptions that are new to them are to maintain the community's health. Providing ongoing reassurance that life will resume as normal can be very helpful.
You know, for some, COVID-19 has reached their community, their hometown, and this could increase children's concerns. What should they do?
It is important to remain calm and to continue to provide reassurance. Maintain normal routines as much as possible. Be there for your child to answer questions and provide accurate information. And this is a time to teach your child to take action that supports the community. For example, offer to drop off supplies, provide additional food, and check on elderly neighbors. This is a time to support each other and to build resilience.
You can hear an extended version of that interview and many more with the doctors of Emerson on their podcast, Health Works Here. That's on all podcast platforms and at emersonhospital.org. This has been Radio MD COVID-19 Daily. If you want to reach out to our team with questions or comments, shoot us an email at COVID19daily@radiomd.com. That's COVID19daily@radiomd.com. Catch us tomorrow afternoon with more updates wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Caitlin White. Stay safe and wash your hands.